So if your investment portfolio is down for the year, we call it a drawdown, well, you're not alone. Me too. My portfolio is down 11% year to date for the first 3 months. So what does this mean? Does this mean that I'm a dumbass? You're a dumbass? And what do we do about it? Well, let me cover the psychology of drawdowns in this video. So year to date, my investment portfolio is down 11.05%, which is a slightly bigger drawdown than the S&P 500 that's down 9%, and I'll explain why in a short while. Now, in case you're wondering, Adam, why does your chart look a bit strange? Like, why is this sudden jump here? And why is there a sudden increase in the value of your shares on the 14th of January? It's because this is actually a brand new corporate account that I created. Because originally, all my stock investments was in my joint account with my wife, as you can see. And because we're getting old, my concern is that if I die suddenly, the joint account be exposed to potential estate tax by the US government, which is a 40% tax if I die, right? So to avoid the tax completely, I transferred 99% of all the shares out of this joint account. You can see I transferred out 5.8 million and transferred it into my brand new corporate account over here, deposited in on the 14th of January. So from now on, I'll be using this corporate account. The good thing about putting all your money into a corporate account or a trust account is that a company and trust cannot die. So there's no risk of any estate tax. Now, the only problem is that my corporate account could only get up on the 14th of January. So for the first 13 days of the year, the market did very well and it was not captured into my new account. So it looks worse than it actually is. So if you look at my original account that started on the 1st of January, on the early part of the January this year, it's actually down 7.67%. So in actual fact, I'm actually drawing down a bit less than the S&P 500. But never mind, I will just accept the fact that I'm down 11% to make it simple. Now again, if you look at the S&P 500, you can see that the drawdown is actually about 9%. So why is my portfolio down more than 9%? And if you're down more than 9%, the reason is very simple. It's because you don't own any energy stocks. So you can see that year to date, a lot of stocks, in fact, are down more than 9%. A lot of them are down 20%, 30%. And many of them are very good companies. Your Microsoft, your Nvidia, your Meta, they are down double digits. Or Palo Alto, great companies are down a lot. And I own all these companies, right? But why is it the S&P is only down 9%? Because it's being held up by the energy stocks. Why? Because oil goes up, energy companies make a lot of money, okay? As you know, the majority of stocks that I buy in my portfolio are in these sectors like healthcare, technology, financial stocks, communication services stocks, and consumer discretionary, also known as consumer cyclicals. Why? Because stocks within these sectors, they have much higher growth rates, higher profit margins, stronger economic moat, higher return on capital compared to the S&P 500. So in the long run, these sectors over here, they way outperform the S&P 500 over the long run. But this year is what we call a bizarro period, right? Where normally companies that would beat the S&P, like these sectors, are the worst performing because of the fears of AI disruption, which to me is irrational and a lot of it is unfounded. And of course, because of the Middle East crisis, right? And normally the sectors that I don't buy, these are sectors where in the long run, they don't outperform the S&P and they're very, very unpredictable. They've got thinner profit margins, higher debt, lower return on capital, like the energy stocks, basic materials, utilities, consumer defensives. These ones, this year, again, bizarro year, they are the ones that are outperforming and supporting the market. So what should an investor do? If you're like me, should you say, okay, then I'm going to sell all this crap, okay, and buy all the ones that are doing well? No, I wouldn't do that, okay? I would stick to the plan, stick to the companies which I'm invested in, because I know that very soon there will be what we call a mean reversion, where once oil prices come down, once King Donnie makes a deal with Gayatola, then these will then come down and then these will go back up. And then the world will go back as it was, right? It's just a matter of time. Of course, it's a great opportunity for me to keep adding shares to the high quality companies that are down this year that will ultimately outperform the S&P over the long run. But I know, especially if you're a new investor, psychologically, it can feel very painful to see your portfolio, to see your stocks that you thought, these are good companies, why are they going down? It doesn't make sense, right? I know it can be psychologically a bit traumatic if you're new. So in this video, I'm gonna talk about how I manage my psychology during these inevitable drawdowns. So the first thing to understand is that these drawdowns where your portfolio drops in value is not uncommon. It's very common. It happens all the time. So let me show you a bit of history of my portfolio. So this is my portfolio for the last 7 years from January 2019 to January of this year. And you can see that my portfolio in blue gained a total of 267% versus the S&P 500, which is in green, that gained 175%. But again, you can see along the journey, there were quite a number of drawdowns. So for example, in 2020, during the COVID pandemic in the bear market, my portfolio dropped 36%. In fact, my portfolio dropped slightly even more than the S&P 500. And then in 2022, when we had the bear market, as the Fed raised interest rates aggressively, my portfolio dropped 26%. And then more recently in 2025, last year, when Trump came out and imposed tariffs on the whole world, it's the liberation day, market panic, right? And my portfolio went down 19% as well, okay? So having double digit drops in your portfolio is not uncommon, even if you're holding very, very good companies like me, okay? It will happen, yeah? So far this year, my portfolio is down 11%. Could it drop 15, 20%, 25%? Sure, maybe, who knows, right? But I always seek comfort in the fact that even the best investors in the world, they cannot avoid drawdowns. Even the greatest of all time, Warren Buffett, who has been investing for, what, over 80 years. And through Berkshire Hathaway, where he made his investments, you can see since the 1990s, he has grown Berkshire 4,000% versus the S&P 500. At 1,200%. So basically, he quadrupled the S&P 500. But again, look at the drawdowns along the way. In the late 1990s, his portfolio was down 51%. And then in 2003, down 24%. In 2005, down 18% to 2006. During the financial crisis, down 54%. And then down 24% over here, down 19%, down 18.6% over here, twice in fact, down 31% in COVID, down 27% in 2022, and more recently this year, down 15.75%. My other hero that I've emulated for so many years is of course Peter Lynch. He's been retired for many, many years, but he's known as the greatest fund manager of all time. So during his stint as a fund manager of Magellan Fund, this was for 13 years, he grew the fund 604% versus the S&P 500 of 223%. His compounded annual growth rate was 29% a year. Now again, does that mean that his portfolio went up 29% exactly every single year? No. Does it mean it went up in a straight line? No. In fact, his portfolio had drawdowns every single year. And every time the S&P 500 dropped, his portfolio would drop a lot more than the S&P 500. So for example, you can see major drawdown 56% here, and then 27% here, 42% here, 32% here. So again, his drawdowns were bigger than the S&P 500. Why? Because you find that to be a great investor, you've got to be a contrarian. You have to buy things that no one dares to buy. That's how you get them when they're very undervalued. And the problem is that when you are a contrarian and you buy things that are very undervalued, it's normally on a downtrend, right? And normally on a downtrend, even though it's cheap, cheap can get even cheaper in the short term. And that's why many of these great investors, in the short term, they may drop even more than the market, but that's the price they pay to buy undervalued. That's the price they pay for being a contrarian. But by doing that, it sets them to way outperform and beat the market over the long run. Here's an interesting fact. Now, Do you know that during the 13 years, there were many retail investors who invested in his mutual fund, the Magellan Fund? And do you know that more than 50% of investors who invested in his fund lost money? Think about that. I mean, his fund is the best performing fund of all time. But more than half his investors lost money when they put money in his fund. Why? Because most of his investors, when do you think they invested in his fund? They invested after a wave up. So after a great run, they would all rush to put money over here. Okay, and after they put all their money in, what happens? Then the fund drops 56%. They go, oh my God, we're going to die. And they sell here, right? And they lose money. And the whole cycle repeats. And the fund goes up. They say, okay, he's good again, right? He's doing well again. And they buy it here after he's done well. And then it drops 27%. Oh my God, he lost his touch again. And they sell over here. And they buy over there. And they sell over here. They buy over there. They sell over here. And that's why more than half his clients lost money. So what's the point I'm making? The point I'm making is that you can invest in the best fund, in the best ETF. You can pick the best companies, but you can still lose money. You buy high when everyone is excited and you sell low when everyone is panicking. So you can see that, again, 70% of investment success comes down to what? Your psychology comes down to managing your emotions. Now, if you want to be a great investor, I highly recommend reading this research article by Morgan Stanley. It was written by Michael Mobusin and Dan Callahan. It was written last year, 21st May 2025. It's a 24-page research article talking about the reality of stock market drawdowns. Now, I'm going to give you a quick summary. Now, here are some fascinating facts from this article, which I'm going to read to you. Number one, what they're saying is that drawdowns are the price of admission for long-term returns. The median maximum drawdown across 6,500 US stocks from 1985 to 2024 was 85%, right? So that means to say the median stock in the market drops 85% along the way of going up, okay? Now, even the best companies in the market, the top six wealth-creating companies like Apple, Microsoft, Nvidia, Alphabet, Amazon, and ExxonMobil, these great companies, the best of the best, had an average maximum drawdown of 80%. So what it's saying is that even if you buy the best companies in the world, you must be mentally prepared that you will drop, the market price will drop 80% sometimes, okay? So for example, Amazon dropped 95% from 1999 to 2001 on its way to now being worth $2.14 trillion. More recently, Amazon dropped 56% in 2022. Yep, I held it all the way through. It dropped 33% in 2024 and 2025. In fact, twice. And this year is down 23%. So again, you need to be a man of focus, of commitment, of sheer fucking will to hold a good company to get the good return, right? Amazon has grown 258,000% versus the S&P 500 that has grown 567%, okay? So there's this guy called Wes Gray, and he wrote another article with a very cute title. His article is called Even God Would Get Fired. And you can go and Google and read that article. It's pretty interesting. And in that article, he did a research and found that even if you built a portfolio with perfect knowledge like God, and you knew exactly the perfect knowledge the next 5 years, which would be the best performing stocks, your portfolio would still go through a 76% drawdown and five separate 30% drawdowns on the way of beating the market. Think about that, right? So the implication is that drawdowns aren't evidence that you're wrong. They are a structural feature of equity ownership. So in other words, if you are a stock investor and your portfolio drops 20%, 30%, 50% along the way, it's not because you are a dumbass. It's not necessarily because you're doing anything wrong. You can do all the right things. You can buy all the good companies. It will still happen because it is the nature of the market. Okay? Now, of course, does it mean that we just buy a portfolio of any kind of stock? No. If you buy lousy stocks of companies that are losing money, then of course it will drop and never come back. Okay? So I've said many times before that in the market, 99% of stocks are uninvestable. I repeat, 99% of stocks are uninvestable because these companies, they do not have consistent growth in revenue, profits, and free cash flow. They may have very high debt. They have too low profit margins. They don't have high return on capital. They don't have a strong economic moat. You must avoid these companies, the 99%. We only want to buy the 1% of companies that are fundamentally very strong. Again, high return on equity, consistent growth in revenue, profits, and cash flow. They have got conservative debt. They have got strong economic moats, right? So these are the ones that no matter how they drop in the short term, they will rebound over time. So we need to make sure we only hold the good companies. The article also says that if you have a portfolio and it goes through a drawdown, you cannot just blindly say everything's going to be okay. No, you have to look at the companies in your portfolio and to check, are they good companies? And if the price drop, is it a cyclical reason? Now, what does cyclical reason mean? That means to say the reason it drops is because of short-term reasons, short-term fears, short-term earnings miss. Then that's fine because then over time it will rebound back. But if the stock price drops because of secular long-term destruction of the economic moat because its revenue and profits are in a secular decline, is losing its competitive advantage, then yes, in those instances, we don't hold. We have to cut loss on those companies and reinvest in good companies. So you got to do that as well. For example, if you look at Microsoft, where even though the share price is dropping temporarily, but if you take a look at the fundamentals are growing, right? Revenue is growing, operating income is growing, cash flow is growing. These are companies that I will hold on to and keep adding shares during temporary drawdowns. But a company like Kraft Heinz, well, you can see, you know, as the share price is dropping, the fundamentals are deteriorating. Over time, you can see the revenue is slowly in a secular decline. You can see operating income going down. You can see free cash flow is inconsistent. These are the ones that we want to get out of. And that's why Berkshire also cut loss on Kraft Heinz when they figured out that, yeah, it's in a secular decline. Every time I tell people that as an investor, you can't avoid drawdowns, inevitably, there'll be some dumbass people and say, but why didn't you sell before it dropped and now you can buy it back, right? This reminds me of an interesting post on X, which I'd like to show you. This was Jeff, who's a fund manager, and his client actually sent him a text message. He said, I see the market is down today. How are my stocks? And Jeff says, you are down 1%, same as the market. And then the client says, well, why can't you just sell everything the day before and buy it all back after the market goes down? I may need to find another advisor. That's why I don't manage money for people, because I'm going to kill myself if I get clients like that. It's very human nature to always have this regret that, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. And like some of my students, they would say, oh, you know, I should have sold it a month ago at a high and now it's low and all that. And it's very dangerous to think like that. And let me explain why, right? So again, now the market has dropped 9%. And some of my students, in fact, what happened was when the market went wave up, wave down, wave up, wave down, wave up, they said, hey, Adam, you know, why don't we sell here? You know, because, you know, after wave up could be wave down. And I said, no, I'll just stay invested. I've been doing this for many, many years. And now it came down. They say, see, I told you so. I told you you should have sold there. Now, the problem with thinking this way is that once you have this belief that after wave up, I got to sell, there'll be many instances in the future and in the past that if you did that, you would have missed the biggest runs in the market. So let me give you an example, right? So if you always have this fear that, oh, every time the market goes up, I'm going to get out, then imagine the person here, right? It waves up and it's going to go down. Oh my God, it's going to go down and they get out here. What happens? They miss this big run over there. Or it drops here, they panic, they think it's going to go lower, they sell, they miss that big run. And we go back further in history over here, same thing, right? You know, it goes up here and then it drops and they think, oh my God, I'm going to get out after a wave up, and they sell here and they miss the big run. So the reason I can tell you that is because I used to do this many, many years ago. Every time the market waves up, I will anticipate a wave down, so I'll get out attempting to buy it back lower. And I can tell you that 4 out of 5 times after I get out, it does come down, but before I can get back in, it zooms back up, and then I'm left without having the stock, and it goes up 300-500%, and I'm sucking my thumb with just a 30% return. So in the past, I used to jump in, jump out, jump in, jump out of great companies, and I made money along the way, but I found that, again, if I just held on to the great companies through the big ups and downs over the years, you know, today I'll probably already be a billionaire. You know, I'll be a lot richer than I am today. So it's a lesson I took years to learn. Now, another common question people ask me would be, Adam, why don't you hedge your portfolio if you think the market's in a correction or bear market? Now, for those of you who don't understand, what is hedging? Hedging means like buying insurance, right? Like you think the market's going to go down, you buy a lot of put options. So when the market goes down, your put options will make you money. Or you can, of course, short the market, or you can buy inverse ETFs. Now, I used to do a lot of hedging in the past. I don't really hedge much anymore. And the reason is because hedging is not free. And again, when you hedge, which means you buy inverse ETFs, you short the market, you buy put options, yes, I would say that one out of five times, the market will go a lot lower and you'll make money on your put options or your hedges. But four out of five times, after you hedge, the market reverses back up very strongly and your put options lose you money, your shorts lose you money. And so by doing that, in the long run, you find that hedging actually reduces your returns. So this is precisely why hedge funds, which specialize in hedging the market, in the long run, they don't beat the S&P 500 and they don't beat a portfolio by Buffett or Peter Lynch, who don't do any hedging. So for example, this was a famous bet that Warren Buffett made with a group of hedge fund people. And he bet that over a 10-year period, hedge funds could not simply beat a buy and hold method. And this bet was from 2008 to 2017. And the person who bet against Buffett, he was allowed to pick five of the top hedge funds or fund of funds. So there was this fund A, fund B, fund C, fund D, fund E to compete with S&P 500, which has not got no hedging. And you can see after 10 years, all the hedge funds, their final gain was 21%, 42%, 87%, 2.8%, 27%. And it was way underperforming the S&P 500 that gained 125% during this 10-year period. So I'm not saying that hedge funds are bad. I'm not saying that you shouldn't hedge. My question is, what's your objective? Now, if you hedge your portfolio or you invest in hedge funds, yes, it could lower the volatility of your portfolio. In other words, it reduces the drawdowns. It could, right? But the cost of lowering the drawdowns is that it also lowers your returns over the long run. This is a more recent research that was done, and this was again about a 5 to 6 year period from January to 2024. And you can see again, hedge funds on average return 6.7% versus the buy and hold S&P that returned 14.5%. Conclusion, if your portfolio is going through a drawdown like mine, suck it up. Take it like a man, right? But take advantage of it. If you have got spare cash, if you don't have a full position, here's the chance to buy and add the great companies that are going through these temporary drawdowns. Now, if you want to know what specific companies are attractive, I'm going to share another video very, very soon. So subscribe to my channel so you get the instant notification once the next video is up. I'm going to do it really, really soon. But I'm going to end off with this little piece of data for you. This year, as you know, is the midterm election year. The midterm elections will be in November. And as I said earlier this year, midterm election years are known to be very, very choppy. So this year is not uncommon. What's happening is quite expected of a midterm election year. And if you take a look at every midterm election year since 1950, these were all the drawdowns of midterm election years. And again, some years was minus 12%, minus 4%, minus 26%, minus 20%, minus 25%, minus 35%. And if you take an average of the midterm election year, the average drawdown of the S&P 500 is 16%. And we are now down only 9%, right? So don't be surprised if we have another, 7% more to go or 8% more to go. But the good news is that historically, after this drawdown, 1 year later, every single time the market has had a double-digit gain 1 year after the midterm drawdown. Opportunity? I think so. So subscribe, and in my next video, I'll talk about specific sectors and stocks that we could be looking at. If you want to catch my latest videos, click on the subscribe button right now. Click on the bell so you get instant notifications once I upload my latest video. If you want to check out my online courses, go to piranhaprofits.com. We're going to learn how to invest and how to trade the financial markets and create an income from all around the world. If you want to join my live Wealth Academy program, go on to wealthacademyglobal.com and find out more about how you can learn investing and trading live online. This is Adam Khoo, and may the markets be with you.